JC Corcoran Podcast.
This is a surprise time for me because I haven't had an opportunity to meet and talk with our next guest. But would you sit there now and tell us your name, please?
Harlow P. Whitcomb.
And where are you from?
From Glens Falls.
New York.
New York.
And what do you do?
I am the president and recording
secretary.
Secretary of the STOA.
What does that stand for?
Slow Talkers of America. We believe
in speaking slowly,
in forming
your words, thoughts,
our ideas and opinions clearly before
speaking.
We speak. We are here
in New York City.
In the city of New York, attending
a convention.
Our annual
convention.
Membership
convention.
Convention. All of our members. All 200
members.
And 50
members.
Seven
members.
Are here
speaking
slowly
so that you'll never be misunderstood,
as opposed to the members of the
STOA.
T-O-A.
O-A.
A. The fast
talkers of America.
Talkers
of America.
Of America.
America.
Our credo
is to speak slowly.
Goes something
like
this.
Would you lower the curtain, please?
We
give me a nervous wreck.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, April 10th, 2023. You are at jconthewine.com, and that is one of the funniest bits I think I have in my entire collection. The comedy of Bob and Ray. They were actually a radio team in Boston, but Johnny Carson found out about them and he liked them, and he had them on the Tonight Show all the time. And then years later, Chris Elliott, as in Bob and Ray, Bob Elliott, Ray Goulding, this is the son of Bob Elliott, Chris Elliott. He was on David Letterman from the early days, and he was doing the regulator guy, the guy under the seats, and all that sort of stuff. And then he, Chris Elliott, had a daughter, and that was Abby Elliott, and she ended up on Saturday Night Live for a couple of years. She was actually dating Fred Armisen for a while. So the story goes on and on, and it all started with Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding and the slow talker. Those guys... Those guys were funny, funny men. All right. The St. Louis Battlehawks win again and win in dramatic fashion and win even without their quarterback. What is going on? Meanwhile, a couple of trees fall at the Masters last week, and I'm talking about big-ass trees that if it fell on you, would just kill you instantly. And they got past all that, and the weather, as we attempted to tell you on Friday when we lost the entire podcast, I did a tremendous podcast on Friday, and I click to save the thing, and the whole computer just crashes, takes the whole thing with it. Now, I didn't have time to redo it, so we had to go without a podcast on Friday. But anyhow, we were talking, believe it or not, I was talking to nobody about the shitty weather at the Masters, and boy, it didn't disappoint. The rain, and then the cold. People are wearing ski caps, playing golf in Georgia. In April, what's the deal? You know, and sure, the Masters is about tremendous golf. Although, I have to say, the combined elements of the bad weather and the difficult course and the fact that the greens were wet, these guys were playing like I do yesterday. You know, missing putts by 40 feet at the Masters. And again, you know, you had your really, really good stuff. John Rahm put on an exhibition yesterday and won by, what, 4 strokes. It was a good thing, too, because there was no Tiger. Tiger re-aggravated the plantar fasciitis. You know, I had plantar fasciitis for about 2 years, and I could not get rid of it. And I was trying all sorts of stuff. I had a really good podiatrist, too, Dr. Kurt Kaufman, who actually lives in Florida. Now, big Blues fan. You take me to Blues games every once in a while. I was in there so often trying to. I had problems with my Achilles tendon for about 2 years. But yeah, I had plantar fasciitis for about 2 years and tried everything. Everything. And I'm not being paid to say this, but I got those inserts at the Goodfeet store. Although I feel like I got railed a little bit because I went in there and I was like, well, I'll get the inserts and see if it helps with the plantar fasciitis. And they're like, okay, you need this for this pair of shoes, and you need these inserts for these kinds of shoes, and then you need this third pair. And I'm thinking, why do I need three pairs? Okay, well, you know, all right, I guess if you say I need them, and they take the imprint of your foot and the whole thing. And I went up to the cash register, and it was $850. $850 for shoe inserts. And you could really argue it and say, those things probably were put in some sort of a mold, and you know, how much does plastic cost? They were probably manufactured for about $5 each. So it should have cost $30, ended up costing $850. The argument against that, of course, is the technology, the research and development that went into it to try to figure out, you know, how they could make these things so that they work. And on that level, worth every dime. Worth every dime, because within a couple of weeks, the plantar fasciitis started going away. And next thing you know, I didn't have it anymore. There have been Cardinal players who had a hell of a time with plantar fasciitis. It was after his career, so it didn't really matter as much anymore. But I know that Jose Oquendo was having all sorts of problems with plantar fasciitis. And eventually, they just cut the tendon in his foot. They just cut it. They're like, you're not going to be able to run very much anymore or very well. It was like, that's all right. My playing days are over. Go ahead. Cut it. They cut it. That relieves the plantar fasciitis. And that's the end of that story. I stuck it out. I even had like this ultrasound treatment in addition to all these shots and everything like that. But boy, you got that plantar fasciitis that you're in for the long haul. Sometimes the long haul. So that took out Tiger. I often wonder about golfers who talk about injuries. Now, if you pull a muscle or something like that, that I understand because you're swinging and you're twisting your body around and everything like that. When you start hearing about like knee injuries and it's like how, short of being clubbed by another golfer who's swinging, doesn't see you standing there and just like smacks you in the knee with it, how the hell do you end up with all these serious injuries playing golf? Not exactly a contact sport, you know? You walk and you swing the club. Oh, I have a terrible knee injury. Sorry, I don't get it. But I don't know, for me, watching the Masters is as much about groundskeeping as it is about golf. I find myself spending less time watching the golfers and more time watching the grounds at Augusta, where you're like, how do they even do this? There wasn't a chunk of mulch out of place on the entire 18-hole course. Yet grass growing down the side of a hill directly into some sort of a stream with no patches where the grass isn't perfect. I wish that I could have just one area of my lawn look the way some of those fairways looked like in Augusta. It's amazing. Why don't they tell us how they do that? You know, it's probably some dirty secret, like how the pyramids were built or something. It's probably an entire barracks of slaves down there in Georgia working on the grounds like 22 hours a day. But I mean it. I'm serious. I don't know why I don't share that with us. Share with us how you're able to grow grass like that. You know, when they have those home and garden shows like at America Center downtown in St. Louis, there's a guy that comes in. I don't know if he comes in every year. I know he's in a lot. He's some guy who says, I can grow grass on anything. So he shows grass growing like on a brick. Like, why don't you grow some on your tongue? I'm tired of hearing you talk about this because I can't do it. And then all these white dudes, I didn't see hardly any women the entire day yesterday. I don't really like having the TV on for several hours where I don't see women. And as I'm looking at the TV screen right now, we have another active shooter thing going on in Louisville, Kentucky. What are they saying here? Hold on.
So again, a live look right here as this situation continues to unravel as we learn more information from authorities about what transpired.
Multiple casualties.
Sunday was just yesterday with many people spending time with their loved ones. And now here we
are. Happy Easter. Back to golf. I like what George Carlin always said about golf.
Golf. You ever watch golf on television? It's like watching flies fornicate. Frankly, I get more excited picking out socks. Golf might be a fun thing to do if you could do it alone, but it's these insufferable nitwits you have to hang around with that makes it such an appalling pastime. Think of the brains it takes to play golf. Think of this. Here's the object. You hit a ball with a crooked stick, and then you walk after it. And then you hit it again. I say, pick it up, put it in your pocket, and get the hell home. You're lucky you found it in the first place.
Then, of course, there was the great Mitch Hedberg.
I play golf. I'm not good at golf. I never got a hole in one. But I did hit a guy. And that's way more satisfying. It's not like seeing a guy you don't know drop 100 yards away. That's right. I hit a guy in one. What's par for hitting a guy? It's one. If you hit a guy in two, you're a you're supposed to yell four, but I was too busy mumbling. There ain't no way that's going to hit him.
And probably the funniest one I have in the archives is Robin Williams.
Here's my idea for a fucking sport. I knock a ball in a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like pool?
Fuck off, pool! Not with a straight stick, with a little fucked up stick. I whack the ball that goes in a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like croquet?
Fuck croquet! I put the hole hundreds of yards away! Oh, fuck out of here! It's great fun there! Oh, yeah, that's a great thing! Oh, like a bowling thing. Fuck no! Not straight, I put shit in the way! Like trees and bushes and high grass! So you can lose your fucking ball and go whacking away with a fucking tire iron. Whacking away, and each time you miss, you feel like you're gonna have a stroke. Fuck, that's what we'll call it. A stroke, because every time you miss, you feel like you're gonna fucking die. Oh, great. Oh, and here's a better part. Oh, fuck, this is brilliant. Right near the end, I'll put a flat piece with a little flag to give you fucking hope. But then I'll put a pool and a sandbox to fuck with your ball again. Ah, you'll be there trashing your ass, jerking away in the sand.
Only do this one time.
Fuck no! 18 fucking times!
fabulous, absolutely fabulous, sensational. And now we move on to Christina Aguilera, somebody I don't think I've ever spoken of in the past. Now, my daughters were young girls, very impressionable girls discovering Top 40 radio and Top 40 music for the first time about the time Christina Aguilera was sort of peaking in her prominence and her career. And I never really had any feelings about her one way or the other. She changed her look so frequently and just found yourself looking at the picture going, I wonder what she really looks like. She's like Laura Hediger, wearing so much makeup that if you scraped all the makeup off and ran into her in the shopping mall, you wouldn't even know it was her. And I can prove that, by the way, because I got pictures of that chick. But anyhow, there is a gal by the name of Alex Cooper, not Alice Cooper, Alex Cooper, that's short for Alexandria, and it's a woman, and she has one of those video podcast things. I'm still at a loss to understand if it's a podcast. You're talking to a microphone, it's a podcast. Everybody got to have video. I don't want anybody taking my picture, witnessing what this looks like. And there's a big mess, and there's paper all over the place. And that's how I work. It's a dump when I'm working. And then when I finish, I clean up and leave everything in pristine condition. But when I'm working, it's pretty much a wreck. And also, I don't really find it that compelling to watch people sit at a microphone talking. It's just not that much going on. But anyhow, I digress. So this chick by the name of Alex Cooper, she's got something like 4 million followers on this podcast thing she does. And she just worked a deal with Spotify. Forget this. $60 million. That's only a little more than I'm making on this podcast. But anyhow. So these women get on, and for an hour, they talk trash. They talk dirty. And I was so moved by what I heard that I decided to share it with you. So here's a 5-minute clip from this conversation. And by the way, you're like, 5 minutes of Christina Aguilera? Oh, yeah, you're going to stick around. I guarantee you're going to stick around. Here they are.
Oh, when did you start masturbating? When was the first time you masturbated?
Oh my God, when was? Oh, well, I think we all kind of like start as little girls, like when you rub up against things and it feels good. And, you know, I think that's also whenever it's just like you have to be like, it's okay. Like that's for, you know, have your private time. Yes. So you're not doing it in front of like company.
Yes.
Like, you have to learn these things. And sometimes we don't have good teachers and that make us feel safe. So that came early on.
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
was like, you know, some people I think have more sensitive areas and I've always been engaged with
I love it.
Understanding there's things happening down there.
Christina is masturbating on planes. She's getting off. She's having the best time of her life. What is your best skill in the bedroom?
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, where do I begin?
I mean, hands down, it's got to be blowjobs. I mean, I love a blowjob, you know? I mean, I enjoy it. Like, I had a lot of also, like, male friends who I was always like, and what do you do here? Like, I grew up around them, so it's like, I know every different part and the sensitive areas, and I do enjoy it. I hear some women don't like it, but I don't know, man. It's a turn on, you know?
It is, because, and I love that you're saying that too, because like we're like, we can enjoy ourselves, get off. There's nothing better than if a guy actually knows how to eat you out. But there's something so hot about pleasuring your partner because that gets me off. I don't want like him to not be enjoying it because I know I'm going to be enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. Do you have any little tips? Is there any, you're like, I know the areas, like what areas,
well,
Christina?
Well, again, sexuality is a very, you know, specific thing. So like what one guy might like, another one doesn't, you know, like there are some guys that don't like their balls being touched or tampered with. There are some guys that like brutal things happening to them. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of different levels, you know, that's why it's important to like be with a partner where you can really just explore. And there's still a lot more things that I have not explored yet that are on my to-do list. And you know, I think, you know, it's hard when you also have kids.
You're trying to keep it PG.
You know, sometimes it's been like, oh, okay, and you're here, okay, amazing. So it's a lot of things, but it's something you have to make time for. But yeah, I love that. And I also like, I mean, I think there's something to be said after you put in the hard work. I think swallowing is really, you know, a good thing. And it's got a lot of protein, I have to say. I'm a promoter of the swallow, okay? I didn't put in that hard work for nothing, you know? We went in there, I got tugged and pulled and, like, you know, there's things happening, you know, maybe gagged. I don't know. But, you know, I mean... Hey, whatever your pleasure points are, but it's fun. You. It should be fun, you know, as long as you feel good and safe with your partner, whatever your bag is. But
I fucking love you. I love you so much. That was fucking amazing. Okay, top three sex positions.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I think, you're fun. I don't mm-hmm. think, you know, like, you're actually safe to talk to. It's not mm-hmm. creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a male journalist, like Christina, yeah, I mean, top happens. Three. You're like,
I mean, yeah.
You're like, I don't okay, have sex anymore.
This is definitely a new dawn, new day mm-hmm. to be, like, safe about it. It depends on the mood. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I mean, I love a lot of positions. Sometimes it's nice, like, early in the morning, like, from your side, from behind. And it's, like, there's, like, holding involved and, like, you know, spooning involved. I love to cuddle. I love to feel, like, safe and protected. But then it's, like, I get too hot and then I'm, like, okay, leave me alone. I just wanted to feel it for a second and then I'm good. But...
No, the morning from the side is also so nice because it's like we're half doing it, we're not, but it's like kind of a nice wake up. You can get, like, your vibrator in there.
And then your ass starts being like, oh, and then you're pulling. I mean, I uh-huh. like it. Uh-huh. The chairs might be coming in my uh-huh.
head. Because uh-huh. then halfway through, you're like doing it from the side, so and then you like kind of flip on your stomach, and then it's from behind. The whole thing is nice.
It's so good. I mean, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Sky's the limit. But there's that. Yeah, like some good, like, doggy sometimes, like in the shower. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I've been, you know, there's been some good times, you know, like there's like the studio soundboard, been, you know, been bent over there a couple times. It's fun, you know, use your imagination, you know.
Christina, I love that.
The plane can be fun. We've definitely hid some things under the blankets when the seats are big enough to, like, you know, we've been, you know, I can't believe we didn't get caught, like, so many times in so many situations. Like, thank the Lord, but...
I have always thought about that, but I feel like I'm too much of, like, a pussy that I was like, fuck, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Are you talking about a private plane, though?
No, I'm not, actually. On international flights, you know, okay. when they turn mm-hmm. the light off, like, the chairs mm-hmm. are, like, I don't know where you're sitting, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's always, like, you know, room for, like, get creative. And you use, you know, blankets. It's like the position we just talked about, the little spoon. It's like, oh, I feel safe with my partner here. Like, we're just sleeping together.
The flight attendant's like, ma'am?
Yeah. No, you got to wait till everyone's, like, going to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you got to, you know, setting the mood.
Well, she seems to have all the right answers. I may need to just cool off here for a moment. Ah, that's better. Okay, so one of the things that I was talking about on Friday, which you never got to hear because of the crashing of all of my audio here, was the show that was scheduled for last night on CBS. Some like all-star tribute. Well, they did one for Paul Simon a couple of months ago, and I remember how badly it sucked because you had Paul Simon sitting up there and you had all of these contemporary music artists coming out and performing Paul Simon classic songs. But they were all singers and entertainers who I'm convinced didn't even know who Paul Simon was, because they're all, like, you know, 22. And they're all those singers you see on the American Music Awards and the Grammys and stuff like that. And you're like, who the fuck is that? And so when they said they were doing an all-star tribute to the Beach Boys, I figured, well, it's a show I can miss, because even though I absolutely adore the Beach Boys, I don't want to hear Shania Twain singing Beach Boys songs. Turned out I was wrong. They actually had a fairly impressive lineup of singers. And again, even though this doesn't fall under the headline of the kind of music that I've been associated with in St. Louis for the last, you know, 40 years, whatever it is, 39, it's pretty good stuff. And by the way, John Legend has been growing on me. He's just not the kind of performer that I gravitate to, but this guy's growing on me, and it went a long way last night. Here's John Legend on stage with Brandi Carlile. Here's just a little sample. Yeah.
Would still go on, believe me.
it's like anything else. When you start with one of the best songs ever written, it's really hard for somebody to come along and screw it up. That having been said, they really sounded good on that. There's some band I was unfamiliar with called Foster the People.
With a girl, the lonely sea looks good. Life makes your night times warm outside. It's been so long.
And I'm sure you can already pick this up, but one of the reasons I like the shows that they do like this is because they don't screw around with them. They try to replicate them. They try to have somebody like, well, you're going to hear Norah Jones here in a minute, do the song, but try to make it sound as much like the original recording as possible. And there's just something nice about that.
I'll dream of homes.
A singer by the name of Charlie Puth, who's had a long line of top singles. And again, this is a lot of the music that my daughter listens to, although, as I pointed out, she's in her room the other night listening to Dean Martin and Louis Prima. So she makes time, you know, to listen to the songs that the kids are listening to right now. She's 13, but she has a wide, wide range of musical taste that would just knock you over. Anyhow, this Charlie Puth kid just did great last night.
It's gonna make it up with you. We can say goodnight and stay together. Wouldn't it be nice if we could wake up and bound up the day is new. After I spend the day together, all that's about is small night through.
Then they had John Legend again, and this is one of those underrated Beach Boys songs. I think Sail on Sailor is one of the greatest songs they ever did.
Tell them stumble, not crumble, try to tumble, life's a rumble. Felt the stinging I've been giving, never ending, unrelenting. Heartbreaks hearing, always fearing, never fearing, persevering.
And then really towards the end of the show, Brandi Carlile with two backup singers. Tell me this isn't great.
Now it's dark and I'm alone, but I won't be afraid in my room. In my room.
And again, this is this all-star tribute to Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. And I say Brian Wilson in particular because I didn't think those guys were all speaking to one another, but they had Mike Love way over on the right side, and then they had Brian Wilson way over on the left side, which is probably a good idea. And then Bruce Johnson and those guys were in the middle. But if you're not doing anything and you want some entertainment, you love the Beach Boys, the show, here it is. It's called A Grammy Salute to the Beach Boys. It was on CBS last night, Sunday night, A Grammy Salute to the Beach Boys. If you've got one of those on-demand things, which almost everybody does, if you've got cable or satellite, you can call that up. And while you're doing that, you might want to catch the first segment of another topic that pops up on this podcast a lot, and that is the James Webb Telescope, because they had the president of the whole web operation on 60 Minutes last night being interviewed by Scott Pelley when he dropped this one on us.
Matt Mountain says that Webb is a reminder of how much we do not know. For example, galaxies are rushing away from each other at greater and greater speed, defying gravity. It makes no sense. So scientists infer that there must be unseen elements at work. They call them dark energy and dark matter.
And whenever you hear the term dark energy or dark matter, this means we don't know what it is. We're not that imaginative. But it is a force. It is 95% of our universe. And we have no idea what it is.
Wait a minute. 95% of our universe is made up of dark energy and dark matter, and we don't know what it is.
Correct. We're lucky if we even understand 4% of our universe today. Astronomy is a very humbling discipline.
I guess. Trying to wrap your head around that on a Monday morning. Wow. Easter over with. There was a lot of talk of people dying potatoes instead of eggs. And they sent reporters out all over the place. And they found almost nobody who did it or even knew anybody who was going to do it. It was a ridiculous idea anyhow. Two people were injured at an Easter parade in Spain when a 5-foot statue of the Virgin Mary caught fire. It went up when a candle fell on it. Two guys were hurt trying to put out the flames. People in Connecticut were warned to be careful with outdoor egg hunts this year after a bear was seen cracking open a plastic egg and eating the candy. And in Easter-related crime, a bunch of chocolate Easter bunnies were seized at an airport in Brussels because they were actually solid lumps of MDMA, the main ingredient in the drug ecstasy. Happy Easter! The Super Mario Brothers movie broke the record for the biggest global opening for an animated film, $377 million. Also, Jack Black released a music video for Peaches, the ballad he sings as Bowser about Princess Peach. The excellent movie, Air, directed by Ben Affleck and starring Matt Damon and everything, that I gave 4 out of 5 corks to, actually came in fourth place with about $17 million. That's not terrible. Especially up against this incredible onslaught of, you know, movies like Super Mario Brothers and stuff like that. Madonna reportedly undergoing procedures to restore her natural look. A source says, despite what people think, the criticism over her drastically different appearance does not affect her. All right, late night today, Jimmy Kimmel's got Jeremy Renner and Metallica. Metallica, by the way, doing a 4-night residency on the show. So tonight through Thursday, Colbert's got Brian Cox and Kerry Russell, Allison Janney, and Brian Cranston on with James Corden. Alan Ruck, the guy who played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, who was actually 29 at the time that he played that role, says he made only $40,000 for playing Cameron in the movie. He had to work in a Sears warehouse to try to make ends meet back in the day. Timothy Chalamet says he'll do his own singing as Bob Dylan in the upcoming biopic. The Food Network has canceled Valerie Bertinelli's show, Valerie's Home Cooking. The upcoming 14th season will be the last. Graham Nash says David Crosby died from COVID. Roger Daltrey says The Who might not ever tour America again because it's too expensive. All right, birthdays today. Daisy Ridley from the Star Wars movies, 31. Maren Morris, 33. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense, Pay It Forward, AI. Forrest Gump, He Saw Dead People, 35. Mandy Moore, 39. Orlando Jones, who's been in a lot of stuff, but my favorite role is the magazine salesman in Office Space. What am I going to do with 40 subscriptions to Vibe? Orlando Jones, 55. Brian Setzer, Stray Cat, 64. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, 64. If you're 64, can you still legitimately be called Babyface? And Steven Seagal, and I've told you the story a million times about the time that he came in on St. Patrick's Day back in 1988 and sat with us on the air for like an hour, and then I took him back to the TV station. He says to me, you know, if you lived in California, you and I would hang out. It's like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's nice. And in the back of my head, I'm like, no, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. It was 111 years ago today, 1912, the unsinkable Titanic set sail. We know how that ended. Theme from Shaft won the Academy Award for Best Original Song on this date in 72. Sam Kinison killed in the car crash on this day 31 years ago today. His brother told us the story.
We're talking about the girl who was actually in the car with him, or in
Malika.
The car behind him?
No, she was in the car with
him. She was in the car with him.
Walked out without a scratch.
Let's get that out of the way.
All right, let's get it out of the way.
Well, because it's a gruesome story, and he was your brother, and nobody likes to talk about it, but Sam was on the way to play a club.
Laughlin, Nevada.
Laughlin, yeah.
Driving from Los Angeles to Nevada. And ends up in some sort of a car crash. Was it ever determined as to what the cause of that crash was?
Well, the kid was drinking and head-on collision. He was on his there was actually three pickups, and they were all racing to Arizona, and whoever got there first didn't have to buy the beers for the night. And so going 75 miles an hour, he hit him head-on. And
Sam was not killed instantly.
No, he's actually very coherent, although he never responded to us. And he kept asking why and why now, and then twice he said, I don't want to die. And then finally it was like he relented, and, you know, it's okay, and that was it.
It was something like he had a conversation with somebody?
I mean, yeah, he was, you know, his eyes weren't set. I mean, we didn't know he was dying until he died. I mean, we knew he was hurt, but we had no idea that he
was
dying.
What was the nature of his injuries? What could you see?
We couldn't see anything because he wasn't beat up outwardly. All of his injuries were inside. He had a broken neck, a fractured skull, a torn heart, and a torn stomach. Mm. So it's all internal. So while we're looking at him, and, you know, and again, he's talking and he's making sense. He's very coherent, but he's not communicating with us. And, you know, and it looks like he's looking at somebody else. And this went on for about maybe 3 minutes that he carried on this whole conversation. It was like they was going, you know, you got to die. And he's like, I don't want to die. And then finally he goes, okay. And that was it. I was about 50 feet behind him, maybe. Yeah. We'd slow down. We could see these pickups like a mile away, or see the one pickup. And then at the last second, the first pickup got back in line, and we didn't know there was a second pickup. And he says he never saw Sam till just for impact.
That was Sam's brother, Bill, who visited with us in studio back in, I want to say it was about 1994. Geez, I don't want to end there. I'd like to end with something slightly upbeat, but I don't know. I don't know if it could be done today because we're looking at another one of these stories. Yet another one of these stories. Here is Governor Andy Beshear, news conference just moments ago, speaking to the nation out of Kentucky about this morning's shooting. 6 people in the hospital, 5 dead.
LMPD made it to this scene in a matter of minutes after receiving the call, and there is no doubt in my mind that their efforts saved lives and they put their own on the line. And we have at least one officer in surgery right now that is there, because he took those actions to try to protect the people of Louisville. This is awful. I have a very close friend that didn't make it today. And I have another close friend who didn't either, and one who's at the hospital that I hope is going to make it through. So when we talk about praying, I hope people will. For those that we are hoping can make it through the surgeries that they're going through. And then we've got to do what we have done these last 3 years after everything. We've got to wrap our arms around these families. And to everybody who needs it, don't be afraid to get some help.
Sorry, no snappy upbeat ending today. I'm so beyond tired of all of this. And if you're one of those people, or you know somebody who's one of those people who says, guns don't kill people, people kill people, don't let them walk away. Don't let them walk away. Go, okay, fine. Let's go with your take on this. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. All right, now you don't like our plan, the plan that even something like 80% of NRA members, and it actually might be 90, come to think of it, who agree that there should be stronger background checks. But I'll just go along with your premise. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. Okay, fine, but you can't walk away. You can't walk away. Tell me what your plan is then. Because you can't say that little phrase and then turn and walk away like, I'm done with it. Doesn't work that way. Tell us what your plan is to make this stop. That's when the conversations start to get real. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.